Yesterday was the anniversary of Te Kōti Rikirangi and how he was arrested near Gisborne and then established the Ringatū faith when he, like many others, were exiled to the remote Chatham Islands, or Rakiura. And then he was also able to mastermind an uprising by, it seems, 300-odd prisoners who overpowered their guards, captured the schooner Rifleman, and sailed for New Zealand, landing near Poverty Bay 6 days later. But the government refused to negotiate with them, and you know that the exiles fought their way inland. And it went on, and he has become a very important figure in Māori history, Te Kōti Arikirangi Te Turuki of Rongowhakaata. That's the focus of our kōrero with Professor Taiara here, Black, who is joining us for a kōrero today. And Taiara here is a professor at Te Whare Wānanga o Awanui Arangi, very experienced in matters pertaining to Te Kōti, and he's with us for a kōrero now. Thanks for your time. Te rangatira, tēnā koe, Taiara here.
Before the events of 1865 and 1866, when Te Kōti and 300 of his people were illegally shipped out of Turanganui Akiwa onto Ahuriri and then incarcerated on Chatham Islands with no trial for almost 2.5 years. Now, when you think about 1865 and 1866, there were other tribes from that were sort of plunged into the chaos of warfare, imprisonment, land lost, and in a vast scale right across the Motu. So you only need to look across to Taranaki, to Waikato. The colonial government was opening up brutal acquisitions of land, confiscation, dispossession, and it was just marching. The fire of confiscation was just burning everywhere. So when you think about Te Kōti Arikirangi Te Turuki, and indeed all of those prophets, it really has to be seen in terms of what the colonial government was doing at the time. Now, when I was at St. Stephen's School, Kingi Matutaira Ihaka composed this haka and taught it to us. And here's the here are five lines of that haka. Ka narora aku whenua, my lands have disappeared. Ka narora aku tika, my customary and intellectual property rights have been extinguished. Mā tau tau ana te aroha, love is callous. Mōmona ana nā iwi whairawa. The colonial people have become fatter and wealthier. Tupuhi ana nā iwi rawa kore. The people are now destitute without their land. Now, when you think about those five lines of that haka, that's exactly the environment and the atmosphere, Te Kōti, and hundreds of our thousands of our people at the time of Turanganui were suffering from the engagement with the colonial government. Now, last week, Ngāti Nahere, a hapū of Te Whakatohea, presented their claim to the Waitangi Tribunal. And I was invited by Ngāti Nahere, Te Kahautu, and the hapū to come and talk about and use Te Kōti's two compositions. The first composition was Kaore Te Pōne Morikarika, and the second composition, Pine Pine Tukura. Now, when you think about these compositions that Te Kōti wrote, I mean, Te Kōti was an innovator. He was a natural leader, that he led his people from Whare Kauri, but he was an innovator of literary, oral and literary sources. So he was a prolific song composer. And two of his waiata, like Pine Pine Tukura and Kaore Te Pōne, Te Pōne Morikarika no. He readily adapted existing motetea for his own purposes and to devise narratives that served to reinforce the history of events that he himself witnessed firsthand. So his composition, like Pine Pine Tukura and Morikarika, I've analyzed those two motetea. I've corroborated with other sources. I've brought in other oral and written sources. And what it tells me is that Te Kōti Arikirangi Te Turuki was absolutely writing about the brutality caused by the colonial government. And so quite apart from Te Koti and 300 of his people being shipped away to Wharekauri, the fire of Raupati was burning everywhere. So I think it's important for us to see that Te Koti and many, many other tribes were suffering from colonial unjust acquisition of land. And so in 2017, I was invited to the marae Wainui here, just south of the Ohiwa Harbour by the Hahi Ringatu. And Wirani Pera asked me to write a publication in 2017-18 to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the return of Te Koti and his people from Wharekauri, wrongful incarcerated in Wharekauri. He was a leader.
He was a leader. So, can I just interrupt for a moment? He was a leader, but he's also seen as a rebel, and perhaps what grated most with authorities at that time in the 1860s late was that he was seen by our people to be a prophet, which would have gone against the Christian grain that was prevalent at that time. But also we must acknowledge that he too, obviously, was a master strategist.
Absolutely. He was a strategic thinker, strategic writer, and he was able to use the Old Testament to build the capacity to reinforce the ideas of turning around the disposition by the crown. We've got to remember as well that there were other leaders as well. Tafiel was a leader at the time, Ruakena, and all of these prophets, the Māori prophet movement, came about because what they could see what was happening, that the Māori people were being dispossessed, accelerating Raupatu and all the sources. So leadership was one of his key areas. Now, the other part too is that how does that apply to now, to the 21st century? Well, we are now seeing New Zealand history curriculum is now adopting and bringing in those compositions and the history of our Māori prophets, including Te Koti. So the key point is the most famous adaptation of his composition, Pine Pine Te Kura. He extended the length, but now those compositions can now become part of the evidence-based sources that can be used to redevelop the history of Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe. What can our mokopuna, Te Ara here, what can our tamariki mokopuna learn from this man?
Well, you know, I'm a product of the oral and written works of Te Koti Ariki Rangi Te Turuki. I hold degrees, bachelor's, master's and doctorate degrees. I've given presentations at local, national, international conferences. I've been to Cambridge University, to Oxford University, to three or four universities. And you know, that's what's taken me there. The works of Te Koti Ariki Rangi Te Turuki. I've published several publications looking at it. So what can our mokopuna and our tamariki do? They should really be looking at the depth. And that is why I am so accelerating my publications to ensure that all these tamarikis have all these knowledge from Te Koti Ariki Rangi Te Turuki. The other part, of course, is that as you grow up, you are retaining the identity of your reo. So what will these tamariki and mokopuna? It builds confidence. It gives them inspiration. It allows them to see who they are. It builds their identity. It gives them a sense of belonging, Māori. And remember too, Dale, by walking into the works of this 19th century prophet, Te Koti Ariki Rangi, you are walking in to scholarship. You are walking into new knowledge, existing knowledge. You are walking into a whole host of historical sources that can very well strengthen career opportunities.